Smoking has a virtue. Would you believe that? Smoking has a virtue. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, where we do not smoke on campus. And this is our instant inspiration tonight. Smoking has a virtue. Now, you're going to say, my goodness, you have talked about many interesting subjects, and you certainly do have fun with them, don't you? That's true. I do. Smoking has a virtue. Not to hold you in suspenders, I'll tell you what the virtue is. The virtue of smoking is when you stop smoking. Everyone has the privilege of having habits and changing those habits. And in America, we have experienced a renaissance of people moving from smoking very powerfully to virtually non-smoking. There are still smokers around who enjoy it, and bless them. And in Europe, we found many smokers. In fact, they smoked in restaurants and stores and other things, just as they always did here before we had the change. And in Ghana, and Nigeria, they smoked. But I noticed very much that people didn't smoke in our presence. Even though smoking was quite prevalent, they didn't smoke in our presence. We didn't say we didn't smoke. We just did not smoke. We don't create in our environment anything that is not harmonious with us. So, smoking has a virtue. And, okay, we said the virtue is being able to stop. Now, I enjoy some of the advertisements that are in some of the Popular Science and Builder magazines and Discovery and I'm sure in Playboy and Playgirl and all that sort of thing too. But basically, they have these certain things that help you to stop smoking. There are pills and there are cigarettes that are not cigarettes that make you feel you don't want to smoke anymore. And there are all sorts of things. But why do you smoke? You see, that's the real thing. Why do we smoke? We've perhaps all played the game at one point or another of smoking. And why did we smoke? Well, basically, we smoked because other people smoked. Mm-hmm. We started smoking because our dad smoked, or our mom smoked, or somebody in the family smoked, or the kids started all smoking in the group that we were in. And we liked being with those kids, and so we smoked too. And we did this even past the time when we were growing up, when we could make up our own mind and not do that. But we did it, and we smoked, and we enjoyed it. The hardest thing about stopping smoking is that when you stop smoking for a short period of time, and then you start smoking again, it tastes terrible. It tastes really terrible, because if you have had an opportunity to have your mouth be fresh and to have your lungs be fresh for even a week or two, you find that smoking is an anathema to you. It's not a desirable thing. But does your desire of remembering all of the happy times you had while you were smoking and being with your friends and playing cards and maybe driving in the car and puffing away and doing all the things you did your remembrance take over and say, well, you ought to just try it. It might be like it used to be, you know. I smoked a pipe, and I thought, I just didn't have a desire to smoke it anymore, and I just stopped. And so every couple of years, I'd buy a pipe and some tobacco and try it, and it was not an enjoyable thing. I had to make myself do it to burn my tongue, because my tongue wasn't calloused as it had been before. And I didn't like my own smell. I didn't like the smell of the smoke in my clothing, because I was used to having fresh clothing without the smell of smoke in it. And I didn't like the smoke in my room, in my house, in my world, and yet I smoked for a very short time. I think it was maybe a week or so. But I said to myself, why would anyone want to do this? Why would anyone want to have such a terrible breath? I mean, can you imagine if the woman and man both didn't smoke and just the man smoked, the woman would find that very difficult, you know. It's sort of a like a dirty taste. And if just the woman smoked and the man didn't, the man would find himself a different lover, you know. And the woman certainly would do the same thing if she didn't smoke, unless she felt she wasn't worthy, and that this was the best thing she could do, and so she caught the smoker, and she was going to train him not to smoke. And of course, that's never a way to develop a relationship, because you're on very unstable ground from the very word go, and you don't want to do that. Smoking has a virtue, and the virtue is that it allows you to see how the green peace is such an important thing in our world. Not that we should go out and save the world from pollution, save the world from the whales, losing the whales, or other things that are there. A lot of people are very, very high on this, very strong on this, very powerful on this, and they say, they believe in this. This is their cause. And I'm not saying that their cause is bad. I'm just saying there's another way to go about the cause. There's another way to go about the Greenpeace cause. If they would teach the people, there is now a pollution-free world, or they just that the air is pure, that all of the trees are growing abundantly all over the world, offering us a wonderful effect of the trees bringing moisture to the barren grounds and so forth, and just helping. If you were to work on these things from a positive point of view, that'd be great. Now, let's go back to smoking. You want to quit smoking. And so the best way to quit smoking is to figure out why you're smoking in the first place. Do you know? No. Mm-hmm. Do you care? No. Do you think it's because of your friend? Do you think it's because of your husband or wife? Do you think it's because of the girls in your club, in your tennis club, or wherever you are? No. You started smoking because you wanted to feel more secure. Mm-hmm. You wanted to feel more self-confident. And you thought that smoking would make you feel more self-confident. I know a lot of young men who grow beards because it makes them feel older. And actually, they're doing marvelous as young people, because they are geniuses and they're wonderful. But everybody says, you little pipsqueak, you have an idea that's worth listening to, you know? And so then they're growing the beard so that they will be a big pipsqueak, you know? But we will never know the reasons behind anything that we ever do. We may say one thing or another is the reason. My mother told me to go play in the street, and that's why I always felt insecure in my home and insecure with my mother. That wasn't it. You felt insecure before. Otherwise, anything she said could not make you feel more insecure. You had to have insecurity in you for you to feel that certain things make you feel insecure. I've worked with a lot of children, especially in Corona del Mar in Newport Beach, and my friend was the cub master, and he asked me to come down and bring my son down. I brought him down so he could be in the cubs, and then he said, well, would you take over for me for a week or so? I have to be away. And he went down to Mexico to do a construction job, and he never came back. Well, he did come back months later, but meanwhile I had these cubs, and so I marched him around. I did everything and taught him everything. Of course, Mark had me as a dad at home and cub master with the cubs. And I taught them all this stuff. And they were all hanging on me. And I told the story before. One of the boys says, Mark, doesn't it make you jealous that all these boys are hanging on your dad? He says, no, I got him at home. And you see, now that's self-confidence. In Mark, all of the things that I tried to teach him were self-confidence. His mother was away often in the hospital, and so I would teach him to enjoy his own company. He didn't need to have friends in all the time. And Mark became very introspective. He became very much listening to the divine within him and following what the divine told him. And he was a very, very cool person in that respect and many other respects. But I assisted him as he built this confidence in himself. I could not make it happen. If he didn't want it to happen, everything I would have done would have been for nothing, and he would just say, get out of my back, you know, get out of my world, you're bugging me too much, you know, as some children do. But all I did was just one little thing. I praised him. I praised him for everything. I praised him for every genius he was, every little thing that he did good. I praised him for the role that he was playing with his friends, being a role model, not being a goody two-shoes, but just being who he is and respecting himself. And they wanted him to take drugs, and he said, no way. They wanted him to smoke, and he said, no way. My dad can smoke his pipe if he wants, but I don't smoke. He was totally himself, always. And this is what a self-confident person is. They are totally their self under all circumstances. And he never took up smoking. He never, perhaps never even smoked a cigarette in the first place, you know, or anything else. He just didn't feel he had to show off by doing it to anybody, especially not himself. And everything he's done with dedication and self-confidence. You, too, can have the same self-confidence that others have. And the way you get the self-confidence is by liking yourself. When you like yourself, you'll do only those things that are beneficial to you. And smoking has the virtue of being non-beneficial. So it'd be one of the easiest things to give up if you like yourself. If you don't like yourself, smoking is hard to give up because it gives you that macho feeling. It gives you that, mm-hmm. that responsible feeling. You know, I'm smoking a cigarette here, or a cigar, or whatever, you know, and these guys with these cigars that are 2 feet long, you know, and some of the ads in some of these magazines, the guy sitting on the back of his truck smoking this cigar that's at least a foot long. And my goodness, you know, that he'd have to smoke for quite a while. That doesn't burn up that fast. And it costs a lot of money. Those cigars are probably Havana cigars, and they're probably $25 each. But millionaires in the earlier days, they smoked cigars. They were $1,000 each. You know, they had the money, and they could afford it, and they enjoyed it. Well, they didn't smoke very much because they had confidence in themselves. They believed, they believed in themselves. They were not trying to put on a show for anybody. But they were going along with what the group is going along with. Because it's so often that, like when Anita was here and she needed glasses, the boys wanted glasses too. So we took them in and had their eyes checked, and they were perfect. They didn't need them. And we said, well, you really don't need them. Oh, I wanted glasses, you know. Well, now, most kids would be glad not to have them. But Anita was a very special little girl. And so very brilliant in every way that everybody respected her and honored her, even though she was only 3 years old. Master child. Still is a master child. But that's what we get when we're smoking. When we're smoking, smoker's hack, you know. When you're smoking, you have all sorts of little hang-ups that give you a big, hard time. And when you don't smoke, the first thing that happens when you don't smoke is you're master of yourself. It takes a lot of confidence to not do a habit that you had. It takes a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard, but it takes a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. My personal situation is every time I have some habit that I want to change, and I know I want to change it, I just say, I'm done. When I was reading the Life and Teachings of the Master of the Far East in 1974, 3-4, somewhere in there, I all of a sudden had no desire for my pipes, and I had quite the collection. I had no desire for meat. I had no desire for all the steaks I had in the refrigerator. I had no desire for wine or the Chivas Regal that I had, beautiful scotch, you know. And I used to drink Ballantine, Chivas Regal, these real expensive stuff, you know, and good stuff. But I would drink it, and it tasted like water. You see, when your need for it is gone, your taste for it is also gone. Mm. And that's a wonderful thing. People say, how did you quit so easy, just one day to the next, you know? I say, well, I didn't. I just no longer desired it. Mm. I say, I didn't quit. I just no longer desired it. I was interested in other things, you know. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Mm. Well, this is how smoking has its virtue. And pay attention to it. Because it's not only smoking, it's bad-mouthing people. The worst thing is bad-mouthing yourself and saying naughty things about the world, saying the world is a bad place, saying that Ghana or Nigeria are not happy places, that the government isn't harmonious with the people. Change that. Say they're harmonious. Say they're wonderful. Say they're beautiful. Know that, and then you experience it. That's the way the rule works. Enjoy it, because you're the master, whether you like it or not. I love you.